The story we read today in Acts 15 is really important. The decisions the church makes here has long-lasting implications. But it's not just the decisions the church makes, it's the process that I think is really important for us as well. Conflict arises. Conflict, disagreement will arise in the church and in our lives. In Acts 15, the conflict is around the question about what you need to do to become part of God's people. It's an important question, and the church grapples with it by gathering all the different perspectives together, and they spend time debating and listening and seeking God in this. Conflict and disagreements are important in growing our faith and working out what it means to be a follower of Jesus in the time and place that we find ourselves in. This is what the early church is doing in Acts 15. And I think the early church was open to debating and discussing because it was kind of part of the Jewish culture. Rachel Held Evans writes about the tensions we see in scriptures and says, this is a quote from her, "For Jewish readers, the tensions and questions produced by scriptures aren't obstacles to be avoided, but rather opportunities for engagement, invitations to join in the great conversation between God and God's people that has been going on for centuries and to which everyone is invited." The Jewish people were used to asking questions and engaging and wrestling with God's word, and also learning and wrestling with one another and thinking through what does it mean to be God's people. And be obedient to what God has called us to be in the time and place that we're in. So we're going to listen to the debate that the early church was engaged in and see what we can learn from it, how it might inform the conversations that we might have. And we're going to do this by, I'm going to try and present the debate. So I'm going to try and present one side of the debate, and I want you to listen and see, you know, what was good, what was helpful, what was persuasive in that argument, and how did one side make that argument? And then I'll present the second side, and there'll be opportunity for us kind of just to chat and reflect on what we're hearing as well. So let me begin with the first side. The Gentiles must be circumcised, which comes from Acts 15, verse 5. God made a covenant, an agreement with the Jewish people. To be our God, and we accord to be God's people. Our scriptures tell the story of our great ancestor Abraham. They tell how Yahweh spoke to him, promising him a nation would come from his offspring, promising him blessing and land, and as a sign of that agreement, that covenant, God called Abraham to undergo circumcision. For the generations to come, every male, when they are 8 days old, are to be circumcised. This is an everlasting covenant in the flesh. To not circumcise is to break that covenant, cutting ourselves off from God and his people. God reaffirmed this covenant when he freed Israel from slavery, when he spoke to Moses, raising him up as one of our great leaders and prophets. Yahweh spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, giving him the Torah, the law, which we agreed to live by as a sign that we are God's people living God's ways. In Deuteronomy 5:29, at the end of the Ten Commandments, God speaks and says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so it might go well with them and their children forever." God longs for our obedience. Now, anyone from any nation is, of course, welcome to join and become part of Israel, part of God's people. And I love that so many are interested and wanting to convert. I'd love more people to discover how good the living God is. And again, our law makes provisions for exactly this. Exodus 12:48 states, "A foreigner residing among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised, that he may take part like one born in the land." I love Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the rightful ruler of our people. I believe Jesus forgives our sins. I love that the nations are responding to God's grace through Jesus. But the way we welcome Gentiles has not and should not change. We should welcome them as we have always done. If a non-Jew wants to join God's covenant people, there's a process they need to go through. Men need to be circumcised and all must commit to obeying the law of Moses. Gentiles need to know what it means to be part of God's people. They need to know what they are committing to. Now, more than ever, given the recent turmoil in the world, given the fact that the emperor has expelled all the Jews from the city of Rome, we need to hold on to our traditions that have been handed down to us from God. These traditions shape what it means to be God's people. The churches springing up all around the place need to show respect. They need to understand who Jesus is and where he comes from. Jesus is a Jew. He was circumcised. Jesus affirmed the law of Moses. He was obedient. So should we strive to be. These new converts need to be taught our ways. Therefore, I and many others are disturbed by the reports we are hearing that this is not happening. We believe this is very dangerous and threatens to tear God's people apart. So that was one side of the argument that was being presented in Acts 15. A party led by the Pharisees who were concerned that the Gentiles weren't being circumcised and weren't being required to obey the law of Moses, and yet were being welcomed in to be part of God's people, this covenant people. So as you heard that, I want you to take a moment to reflect on these questions. What good points are made in this argument? Did you find anything that was persuasive or interesting? And how are these points made? So as the church is trying to grapple with what the right thing to do is, what do they draw on in order to make that decision? I expanded a bit. In Acts 15, not much space is given to that perspective. The longer perspective follows, starting from verse 7. Peter gets up and speaks, and then James speaks. And so I'm going to present their perspective, and I've kind of combined their point of view. So trying to present the other side, and again, I want you to listen and then reflect on what good points are made in this argument and how are these points made. God is doing a new thing. Jesus, the Messiah, the rightful ruler of our people, has come. I've seen him. I was Jesus' disciple. I was there the day he was crucified, and I saw him when God raised him from the dead. I saw Jesus ascend to heaven and pour out the Spirit of God on us. A new thing is happening. I've seen the Holy Spirit at work, not just with our people, but with those outside our community. I've seen non-Jews eager to hear about Jesus, experience healing and transformation. I have had visions from God leading me to connect to Gentiles who want to be baptized and follow Jesus. The Spirit of God is working in a powerful way, ushering in something new. Don't just listen to me. Listen to Paul and Barnabas. They have story after story they tell of God working wonders in people's lives right around the Mediterranean. People are hungry for God. As I think back over the last decade, I can see that what God has been teaching me is that when someone accepts Jesus, when they have faith, trust in Jesus, Jesus accepts and welcomes them. They are part of his people just like we are. It's that simple. God is forming a new covenant, a new agreement, a new people. There is no longer this distinction between Jew and Gentile. God is creating one people, purifying our hearts. He shows us grace and calls us to trust in Jesus. The sign of who is part of God's people is no longer circumcision. It's people who say they trust Jesus. It's people filled with the Spirit of God. I say this not because I think it's the right thing to do, but because it seems to me that this is what God wants. This is God's choice, not ours. So who are we to oppose what God is doing? To require Gentiles to be circumcised is to put a yoke around their necks. It's to stop the work of God. Many Gentiles won't get circumcised. Circumcision is not popular among the Greeks. It would make it harder for them to live in their neighborhoods. Some could lose their jobs over it. We should not make it difficult for Gentiles to turn to God. To do so is to deny what God is doing. It's like we're saying to God, no, you are wrong. You can't just accept them. They have to follow the old process. But God is leading us into something new. It is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, just as they are, just like our scriptures spoke about. I love the scriptures. I love the stories of Abraham and Moses. I have a deep respect for the Torah, the law. Don't think this new thing I'm speaking about is disconnected from what has come before. It's the exact opposite. I see that this has been God's plan all along. We have been heading to this moment from the time Abraham first encountered Yahweh, and Yahweh promised that all the nations might experience blessing through Abraham. God has always longed for all people to have a chance to come into a relationship with him. Indeed, our prophet Amos spoke about a time to come when God would return to his people and rebuild David's fallen tent. He's done this through David's descendant, Jesus. Jesus came among us as one of us, as the rightful ruler of our people, but also not just like us. In Jesus, we have come face to face with God. God walked among us, restoring us, and not just us, like our prophet said, God has come to restore the world, gathering together people seeking him, all the Gentiles who bear his name. The time has now come, and we need to join in what God is doing, not hinder it. So once again, I want to give you the opportunity to think about what good points are made in this argument, what did you find persuasive, and also to think through how this argument is made. And what does that teach us about how we might figure out conflicts that we have in our time. We've kind of heard this morning the conservative side wanting to keep to the traditions and honor God in that, and we've heard the more progressive side wanting to honor the Spirit, what God is doing now. And in the end, after hearing both of these perspectives and debating them, the church in Acts 15 sits in this tension and comes to the conclusion which is somewhere in the middle. They send this letter out to the churches. I want to read from verse 27. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. The Gentile churches hear this and are glad and encouraged. The answer in the end is somewhere in the middle, which I think is often the case. They set some rules so that Jews and Gentiles can gather and worship God together as God's people. And then they see how it goes. This is not the final answer on the matter. This is an ongoing conversation. Conflict will come again. But what we see here in Acts 15 is the importance of listening to different perspectives in the community. We see the importance of turning to the scriptures and hearing God speak. And both sides can point to the scriptures. And we see here the importance of paying attention to what the Spirit of God is doing. The church is trying to move in step with God and together as a community. It's not simple, But there is profound wisdom here for us, because today there are still plenty of conflicts and debates happening in the church. But we shouldn't be scared of them. I actually think conflicts and debates are really important. It's in this tension, as we talk and listen and have a go, that God is shaping us to be His people in this time and place. So I want to encourage you to keep reading the scriptures and think about what it means for us now, to keep listening to one another, particularly those of us who have different perspectives, and to be seeking the Spirit and what the Spirit is saying to us. May we be a people that continue this great conversation between God and His people about what it means to be God's people in this time and place.